Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18. Be reading a very familiar verse of Scripture. I think as we read this, I pray that the Lord would show us some truths. The Holy Ghost would convict our hearts, and that when the invitation is given, we would respond in obedience. Luke chapter 18, verse number 10. The Bible says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the one. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. Father, we thank you tonight for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings that we're able to come to the house of God, giving us the ability, the health, Father, to give us the mindset and the desire to be around the things of God. Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you'd bless the reading of your word, that you'd exalt your Son, Jesus Christ. God, that you would hear our prayers. Lord, that you would help and can stir and edify your church. Lord, I pray tonight you'd save that one that's lost and's never called upon you. Lord, I pray, Father, that you'd give us one more opportunity, Father, to call upon the precious name of Jesus Christ. We love you and praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This past week, as most of you know, that our stock market took a financial dive. It took a financial downward decline. The biggest decline, they were telling me as I was reading and watching the news, since the financial crisis of 2008. Many have lost multitudes and multitudes of dollars, millions perhaps, because of this downward decline in our stock market. And it all had to do with one thing. That one thing is what has been in the news cycle the past several weeks is what we call and what we view the coronavirus. And I began to think yesterday and this afternoon, I pulled some statistics about this virus and all that it attains. And, you know, it's affected us in so many ways. It affected our stock market like we've never seen it before. It's affected the way we travel. Our president, who has placed travel bans on certain countries and give limitations on trade, mainly China and South Korea, because of this one little virus that we call the coronavirus. I was looking this afternoon. It said in the United States, there's only been 62 confirmed cases of the coronavirus, yet it plunged the stock market. One confirmed death. They said this man that died yesterday lived in Washington State. He was in his 50s, and I guess due to HIPAA laws, we don't know, but they said this man had multitudes of chronic underlying illnesses. Begin to think about that 62 confirmed cases here in the United States and one death. And I was talking to a brother this afternoon, and I was talking about the flu virus, and I looked up some statistics about the flu virus last year. It said 2018 and 2019, the flu itself in the United States, how many confirmed cases? In the United States alone, there was over 61,300 deaths of just the flu. There was 50 to 75 million people last year were infected by the flu worldwide. But yet, the coronavirus has shook us to the core. In reading just a few minutes ago, I was thinking about probably the greatest outbreak that our nation's ever seen virus-wise, and that's what they called the Spanish flu in 1918. They said there was over 675,000 Americans that died because of the Spanish flu. You know, those are some staggering numbers to me. But tonight I'm not so worried about the Spanish flu or the flu that's going around, or I'm not even worried about the coronavirus. I believe tonight the Lord had me to speak on something that's far more dangerous than all these diseases put together. I believe what I'm speaking on, it affects the lives of almost every American and probably every one of us here tonight. I think it's safe to say that everyone here is probably infected by this deadly force, this deadly sin. I believe it's safe to say that this deadly force, this sin, when it infects you, it will affect everyone around you and everything in your life. And that is a sin called pride. It's something that God hates. It's something that God despises. And let me say that when I talk about pride tonight, it's not thinking lowly of ourselves. It's not thinking of ourselves that have no self-esteem. You see, many times we get up and we say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And that's a true statement. I'm nothing but a sinner that's saved by grace. But you know, Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, and He calls us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We find here this sin affects everyone. I want to preach on the thought tonight as we read these verses in Luke 18, verse 10 through 14. Leaving church justified or dignified? One man we just read about, a Pharisee. They come to the house of God. They come to church to pray. This Pharisee, the Bible says, he stands, if you read it, by himself, with himself. God was nowhere alone. And he's praying, God, I'm thankful I'm not like the extortioners. I'm not like this publican. I'm not like these other sinners that I pray and I fast twice a week. God, I'm thankful I'm not like them. But we find one man that's over by himself. The Bible says he didn't even lift his eyes, but he smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, there was two men. One left church dignified, and one left church justified. This pride, I want to say number one, it's independence from God. I was thinking about pride. You know, pride's an attitude. Pride is an attitude. It's a spirit that says that we're okay with God. God, we're all right to operate without you. We're okay to walk this Christian life without your power, without your guidance, without your authority. You say, preacher, that's not me. I need God and I rely on God. But let me ask you this. What's your prayer life like? What do you pray often? Do you pray regularly? Do you pray, as Paul says, without ceasing? You see, our prayer life is not because we don't have time, but we don't pray because we don't feel the need to. And when we don't feel the need to, we're saying, God, we're okay without you. God, we can handle it on our own. God, we're all right in the situation that we're currently in. See, pride is independence from God. You know, we're not wrestling with prayerlessness in 2020, we're wrestling with pride. I know it's not right, but I will say it anyway. I think that song that's secular by Frank Sinatra says it best. I lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway, but more, much more than this, I did it my way. I think many times us as Christians, born-again believers, we're saying, God, we're okay to do it my way. We don't need you. My pride shows its independence from you. Are you doing things tonight your way? Are you doing things tonight God's way? Number two, I'm being quick tonight. Pride. It's not only independence from God, but I see pride is ungratefulness to God. You know, God's blessed us. He's blessed me. He's blessed this church financially, physically, spiritually. And it's like we deserve it, or we say, God, we've earned it, or God, we're entitled to it. You see, pride is ungratefulness to God. Paul, he asked the church at Corinthians. He said, what hast thou that thou hast not received? Paul's telling the church. He said, church, God has given you everything that you have. You say, well, I work for what I have. But it's God that give you that mind, and God give you the energy, and God give you the talent to do that work. What hast thou did not receive? Everything God's given us, from our salvation, to our family, to our health, to our jobs, to our homes, to our cars. Everything God's given us, it's because of Him. And everything that you have, you received it from God. I want to say tonight, we are so blessed by the bountiful hand of God. You see, pride, it's independence from God. Pride is ungratefulness to God. Number three, pride is haughtiness in the sight of God. God will speak to some of you tonight, just like He has times before. And you'll say, no, not me, Lord. Pharaoh, he told Moses, he said, who is this Lord that I should obey Him? You see, tonight, pride will not admit mistakes. Your pride, it not only admit mistakes, but it won't take counsel from others. Pride says I'm right. Pride says I'm haughty, I'm lofty. It's the word translated swelling. I've arose. I have that proud look in the sight of God and the sight of men. Jesus Christ. There in John chapter 13, verse 3, the Bible says, Jesus, knowing that the Father hath given all things into His hand, and that He was come from God and went to God. Jesus knew His authority. He knew His power. He knew His position. He knew He was God. Yet the Bible says that He rises from supper. He lays aside His garment. He takes a towel and begins to wash His disciples' feet. You see, this was a job for the lowliest servant of the home. Yet the God of all heaven finds Himself on the knees of His servant, of His disciples, washing their feet. Listen to what Luke chapter 22 says. It says that the disciples that night, they come into the room and they're debating. They're arguing. They're talking amongst themselves. Who is the greatest? Yet Jesus shows His greatness by washing their feet. You see, pride, it's haughtiness in the sight of man, in the sight of God. He was an example to His disciples. He's an example to you and I tonight. Pride. That night, He rose from supper, a place of comfort, and it was a place of rest. Yet He arose from the throne of heaven, a place of eternal rest and eternal comfort. I placed in my notes that night, He laid aside His garments, taking off His covering. Yet He laid aside His glory and His majesty and His righteousness to come to heaven. That night He took a towel and He girded Himself, being ready to work. Yet He took upon Himself a form of a servant, come to do the work of the cross. That night He poured water into basin, ready to clean. But there on the cross, He poured out His blood to cleanse me from all my sins. That night we see He sat down after washing their feet. Yet He sat down on the right hand of God after He cleansed me and forgave me of my sins. Pride, it's independence from God. Pride is ungratefulness to God. And pride is haughtiness in men's and God's side. I want to say tonight, pride, it will ruin everyone, and it ruins everything that it infects. It'll ruin you individually. We're no match for this pride. It ruined Lucifer. We find Lucifer, that light bearer, the morning star, the shining one. It ruined him. We see that pride was in him. The Bible says about the iniquity. Listen to what Isaiah 14:12 says, it says, "Thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I was also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." You see, it'll run individuals. It runs Lucifer. I put in my notes, it run Eve, and it run the whole human race. You see, that night in the garden, it wasn't the fruit that Eve was desiring. You see, the garden was full of fruit. But it was knowing that when she ate of this fruit, her eyes would be open and she would be like God, judging good and evil. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:5, "Be ye clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." Paul's not writing to a lost church. He's writing to saved, born-again believers like you and I. And he said, be clothed with humility because God resisteth the proud. It's the word to go to war with. It's the word to stand against or to push back. He's saying if you have pride tonight, God's resisting you. He's pushing back and he's ready to go to war with you. Pride, it'll ruin our fellowship with God. It'll ruin our relationship with men. I noticed this pride. Solomon talks about this pride in Psalm 16:6. He said, "These six things do the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination." The first one on the list, a proud look. You know, I want God with me, not resisting against me. Three things and I'm done. Where does this pride come from? What does this pride bring when it comes into our lives? I see, number one, it comes from within. Listen to Psalm 16:5. The Bible says, "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord." See, the pride, it comes within ourselves. It's not learned. Our pride is not taught. It's not indwelt in us, but we see it's an inherited nature. It's that sinful nature that I have, and everyone here tonight has this pride. And because of pride, you and I were sinners. Because of this pride, David said, "In sin did my mother conceive me." And we see tonight the Adamic nature in all of us because of sin. And this pride lives within. Listen to Mark 7:21. It says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and an evil eye, pride, and foolishness." All these evil things come from within. Just asked Brother Brian a few minutes ago. You know, if you take an apple, and you look at this beautiful apple that God created, and you turn that apple, you may see a wormhole. And we look at that wormhole and we think the worm had bored itself from the outside to the inside. But actually that worm, before that apple ever began to blossom and ever began to be created by God, there was a moth called the codling moth that came and laid an egg on that blossom. And when that apple began to form, that worm was already in that apple. You see tonight, our pride is inside of us. It's our job to get it out. Pride, number one, it comes from within. It's not ingested. It's not received. But it comes from within. The Bible tells us from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Tonight, I wonder who would admit they have this pride. Number two, pride. It not only comes from within, but when pride comes, it brings contention. Listen to Proverbs 13:10. "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom." When you find pride, you will find contention. When you find pride, you'll find strife. You'll find war. You'll find envy. You'll find heartache. You'll find sorrow. You'll find pain. You'll find suffering. And it's all brought forth because of pride. June 24th, this year, Me and my wife will be married 20 years. A couple months before our marriage in June, we sat in our pastor's house. There is at his table in his sunroom, and he was giving us counsel before he would marry us. I hope it's okay to tell this, Pastor. He looked at me and he looked at Natalie and he said, "You'll find four things in your marriage that's going to cause strife, contention, and arguments." He said, "Number one will be money." And I found that to be true. My wife, she loves to shop. And I got three more coming right in behind her. He said, "Number two, you'll not only find big money, but," he said, "it'll be family." He said, "Time will be spent between families, and it'll be tried to jockey back and forth, and it will sometimes, many times, will cause contention and strife." He said, "Number three will be jealousy. Maybe not so jealousy between you and someone else, but jealousy between time spent here and this time spent there, and things that jockey for your attention. So it'll be jealousy." And he said, "Number four will be pride." Over the past 20 years, every contention argument, every discussion I've had with my wife, I think it can go back to one thing, and that's pride. See, pride, it brings contention. We find pride, it was found in heaven. And you can assure it's found in our churches. I think pride has probably been responsible for more church splits than any other sin. Pride brings contention. It brings strife. Listen to what the Bible says about pride and Lucifer had in heaven. In Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 15, the Bible says this about Lucifer. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Lucifer, the most powerful angel, the most powerful created angel we find, was so beautiful. He was so wise. He was so powerful, more than any other angel. But yet he wanted God's position and he wanted God's authority. You see, he didn't want to serve. He wanted to be served. He did not want to humble himself. He wanted to be worshipped. What a stark contrast that is to our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says that he came not to minister, but to minister, to be ministered to, but to minister. In Ephesians 2:5, it said, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not be robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of men, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross." You see, this pride, it comes from within. When pride comes, it brings contention. When pride comes, number three, it brings shame. Proverbs 11:2. The Bible says, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with lowly is wisdom." You see, the proud man tonight, he wants honor, and he wants esteem, and he wants praise, and he wants all the accolades. But we see Proverbs 29:23 says, "A man's pride shall bring him low." Saul and David, they returned from a battle, and all the men and the women come out of the city, and the women began to sing a song. They said, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David has slain his 10,000s. You see, Saul did not mind that he just slayed thousands, as long as no one else slayed more than him. And from that moment on, we see Saul, he had that envy, that pride inside of him that he wanted to kill and to destroy David's life. But 1 Peter 5:6 tells us that if we would humble ourselves from the mighty hand of God, that he will exalt us in due time. We find in James 4:20, the Bible says, "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." You see, in God's economy, going up is coming down, and when we go down, that's when we are brought up. Pride. It's sad tonight, and I put my notes, I'm closing, that most of God's children are too big to be used by God. God can't bless us. God can't bless our ministry. He can't bless our church because we're too big. You know, you can be too big for God, but you never can be too small for Him. Pride, it comes from within. Pride, it brings forth contention. Pride, it brings forth shame. Number four, pride, it brings forth destruction. Proverbs 16:18, the Bible says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I believe the sin that's probably responsible for more people missing heaven and going to hell is the sin of pride. Pride, it brings destruction. National destruction. Nation throughout the history have been destroyed because of this one thing, pride. It brings forth domestic destruction. Families ripped apart because of pride inside the home. It brings forth financial destruction, that people trying to keep up with their neighbors and spending, but yet don't have the means. We find mostly, though, it brings forth spiritual destruction. This very minute, people are falling into hell because of pride. That gospel call, it's given. The hot gospel call is trumpeted, and the Holy Ghost is drawing, but yet, because of pride, we say, not now, Lord. We say, wait, Lord. We say, maybe later, Lord. We say, Lord, what will people think? All because of pride. It brings forth destruction. About 6 or 7 years ago, I began to get a lump on the inner side of my upper thigh. It was a little knot, and it began to grow, and I went to my primary doctor, and he looked at it, and he said, Gunn, it's just what we call lipoma. It's a little fatty mass, nothing to be concerned about, nothing to be worried about. I can cut it out if you want me to. And I said, no, it's okay. As long as it's not cancer, and as long as it's not hurting me physically, I'm okay with it. But as time went on, it began to grow, and get larger and larger, and I noticed I learned to live with it. Couldn't sleep in certain positions because it hurt, or when I sat in certain ways, my foot and my toes would go numb, and I knew that if I went to the doctor, it would cost me some things. So I learned to live with it. I knew it would cost me time. It cost me a day, and if I'd have dealt with it there at the doctor, I could have had it done, but now it was a day surgery. It would cost me money out of my pocket. It was going to cost me to humble myself from that doctor and the nurses to have it cut out. So I learned to live with it. You know, most of us tonight, we're walking around with pride, and we've learned to live with it because we knew that if we get rid of it, it's going to cost us some things. It may cost us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. It may cost you to ask God to forgive you of your sins. It may cost you to go to your neighbor, your brother and sister in Christ, and say, it was me, I'm sorry, would you forgive me? In our text in Luke, there was two men that went to church that night. One standing praying, saying, God, I'm glad I'm not like this man. One man's over beating his chest. Wouldn't lift his eyes to heaven, and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. One went home justified, and one went home dignified. Which one are you tonight? Let's all stand. I don't think we need to sing anything tonight. Misty, if you can play something, that would be wonderful. I wonder tonight if you would humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Ask God to hear your prayer, to search your heart, to create in you a clean heart. Chronicles tells us that if we would humble ourselves and seek His face, that He'd hear our prayers, He'd forgive our sins, and He'd hear our land. We need Your help, Lord. Father, we thank You tonight for the Word of God. Lord, we thank You tonight we can call upon You, having that opportunity, Father, to humble ourselves in Your sight. Lord, we ask You that You would help us, Lord, that You would hear the prayers of Your people, and Lord, that You'd search our hearts, and God, that You would remove that pride, that thing in our life that's causing contention and strife, that's destroying relationships, that's killing marriages, that's hurting us as Christians and on our Christian walk. God, we need Your help. God, we can't get rid of it on our own, but we ask You, Father, that You would just humble ourselves, cleanse us from our sins, hear our prayers, and help us, Lord. Father, I don't want to be like that religious man, that Pharisee. I want to be the one that says, have mercy on me, Lord, a sinner. Lord, I want to be right in Your sight, justified in Your sight. God, I just pray that You'd help us. Lord, hear the cries and the prayers of Your people. Lord, forgive us of our sin, for we are sinners. Hear our prayers, Lord. Help us, God. Use us, Lord. Cleanse us, Lord. Send revival to our Baptist churches one more time for Your honor and glory. We ask You that You'd save the lost. God, that You'd put those marriages and families back together. Lord, that You'd heal those for Your glory, that they could say only by God came healing. We bless Your holy name. You've been good to us, Lord. Let us never be ungrateful for what You've given us, Lord, for the blessings and the spiritual blessings and financial blessings. We bless You, Lord. We know it comes by You. All gifts are from the Father above. We thank You for them tonight, Lord. I love You. Forgive me, Lord, my sins, my wickedness, my ungodly ways. And I'll thank You for it.